Our next speaker is Professor Saraswati, who obtained her PhD in anthropology from the University of Delhi and did her postdoc at Albert Einstein College of Medicine in genetics. Her specialty is human population genetics, and she is currently senior assistant professor at the University of Delhi.
Good afternoon, everybody. As already told, that I am from anthropology background, basically. And then my acquaintance with dopamine receptor gene is just as an anthropological marker. I have never looked at it in terms of any clinical implications. We just looked at it as a neutral marker for anthropological studies, like to have some inferences in peopling of India. As a major initiative of Department of Biotechnology or Government of India, there they have recommended around 36 to 40 markers, DNA markers, common DNA markers, which were to be used for diversity studies in Indian context. So dopamine receptor, D2 receptor, was one of the markers that they have recommended, in which there are three sites. Dr. Kennedy has already said there are three sites which facilitate the construction of haplotype. So we have been using these three sites as important marker for anthropological studies. And as a part of genome diversity study, we have analyzed around 22 populations for dopamine receptor 2 gene polymorphism, and we have come to good inferences, and I'll be showing the data right now. And this is a basic slide, and of the neurotransmitters, dopamine is one of the important one, and then regulates food intake by modulating food reward via the mesolimbic circuitry of brain. These terminologies are very new to me, and I've just taken from the literature. I may make mistakes in using these words because I have never used dopamine in clinical sense. Again, this is not the forum for me to explain to you all these things, because there are people who are more known about this. Dopamine plays an important role in behavior and cognition, voluntary movement, motivation, punishment and reward, inhibition of prolactin production, sleep, mood, attention, working memory, and learning. Implicated in neurological process, motivation, pleasure, cognition, memory learning, and motor control. And the subtypes are DRD2, DRD4. DRD2 seems to be particularly important in striatum, and DRD4 appears more important in prefrontal cortex. However, both are likely to be involved in impulsivity, reward anticipation, and addiction. And this, I should have given the reference, of course. And you have already seen this diagram in Dr. Kennedy's presentation. Here, the three sites of DRD2 gene are shown. And the beauty of DRD2 in anthropological studies is, of the two alleles at a single locus, one is called as ancestral, and the other one is the wild or the mutant one. So it is easy for us to come to some inferences regarding the population histories, because we can estimate that this population is more primitive depending on the frequency of the ancestral alleles. And because this gene is also important, we can even reconstruct the haplotypes based on the three sites. A1 is ancestral allele and A2 is a mutant allele. A1 allele is associated with a number of impulsive, addictive, compulsive behaviors such as alcoholism, nicotine and cocaine dependence, family history of obesity, and multiple substance abuse. Here I would like to mention something important. A1 is ancestral allele and A2 is the mutant allele. And A1, though it is ancestral allele, its activity is reduced by 40%, whereas A2 is more efficient as compared to A1 in evolutionary aspect. A2 is mutant, but it has a better adaptability in natural circumstances. When you go by world distribution of DRDO2 TAC1 A1 allele, we find that the frequency of A1, that is ancestral allele, is reducing in populations. In most of the population, it is below 50%, whereas A2 allele, which is supposed to be mutant allele, and mostly I think it's human specific, and it is found to be very high in populations. And if you think that A1 allele, I mean, as the papers or the published literature says that A1 allele is associated with various disorders, and in that case, in that sense, if the A1 allele is decreasing in populations, then maybe is it that at a certain point of time A1 allele will disappear from this world? First point. If that is the case, all the diseases associated with A1 also should disappear from this world. So is it possible, and what is going to happen to the frequency of A1 allele in future? And then this is one of our papers published in Genetic Testing and Molecular Biomarkers. Population studies here. Actually, in India, we have geographical locations: South India, North India, East India, West India, Central India. And if we take the populations, there is a lot of diversity in all these geographical regions. And within each geographical region, we have ethnic groups like tribals and non-tribals and castes. If you talk about non-tribals, in most of the Indian population, non-tribals are called as castes. But if you go to northeastern part of India, there is no caste system as such, either a tribal group or a non-tribal group. And then here we have picked up certain populations in South India, and then there we have one Brahmin caste population and other three tribal populations. The sample size was 204, and we finally said that allele and haplotypic distribution pattern makes the Andhra Pradesh population different from Nilgiri Till tribal populations. In South India, this is Andhra Pradesh, another state called as Tamil Nadu. And there, the Nilgiri Hill tribe, there are tribals, and the similarity between those tribals and these tribals, the tribal studies by us, it is they are all belonging to proto-australoid stock, and also they speak a common language, that is Dravidian speakers. In spite of that, we found a lot of difference between these two tribal groups with respect to DRD2 gene polymorphism. Second paper was in the same journal, and it is on Manipur populations. We have picked up 8 populations from Manipur, of which 3 are non-tribal and 5 are tribal. And here we found a lot of heterogeneity among these populations, and we also found a discontinuity. Though Northeast India has all Mongoloid populations speaking Tibeto-Burma languages, and we found, though they are in India, there was a genetic discontinuity between the Northeast Indian populations and the rest of India, Indian populations. And this paper was published in American Journal of Physical Anthropology. And here we found that major genetic contribution from Eurasia, apart from common genetic unity of Indian population, a greater genetic inflow among North Indian caste populations than among South Indian caste and tribal populations. These were the inferences that we could make. I mean, major inferences for anthropological studies based on only 3 markers. It was quite cost effective also. And this another study in Gujarat populations, we found a lot of heterogeneity in the populations. They all belong to proto-australoid stock and speak Indo-European languages, but there is a lot of difference in respect to distribution of DRD2 polymorphism. Again, there is another study which we did in central India, Jharkhand, Ranchi district, where we found 2 important tribes which speak 2 different languages. One is Dravidian group, the other is Austroasiatic group. Austroasiatic people, speakers, are supposed to be the original inhabitants of India. And we found these 2 groups, though they are under 2 different linguistic groups, but they are very, very similar with respect to DRD2 polymorphism. And then frequency distribution of A1 allele in Indian communities, also you find that most of the populations, it is below 50%, showing that the A1 allele is showing a decreasing trend in populations, whereas while pushing the A2 allele in various populations. Coming to DRD4 gene, and my work on DRD4 gene started only after my association with Inclined Trust from India. I should be thankful to Dr. Arora for introducing me to this gene. In fact, this we thought of doing this gene or work on this gene only when the Canadian team in our project, Dr. Laurette, has suggested to work on these two genes. So DRD4 was never my interest, or I have never done anything. Only after they have talked to me, so I started working on this gene, and I also produced data of DRD4 gene on all the populations which we already have the DNA with us. And then it has two level, there is a 48 base pair repeat which can be repeated from twice to 11 times. Depending on the number of repeats, 2 to 11, we have the alleles. World distribution met, if you find that 2 repeat allele and 7 repeat allele, they go inversely. In the populations where 7 repeat allele is in a higher frequency, 2 repeat allele is going down, and 2 repeat, wherever it is there, 7 repeat allele is, in general I'm talking, is going up on that. And then frequency distribution of DRD2 gene repeat allele in Indian population. We have not published this data yet. And then here in Indian context, we hardly find any 7 repeat allele in populations. And even if we find in 7 repeat allele Indian populations, it is in North India where you find a lot of European inflow, genetic inflow. There we are finding 7 repeat allele, and some caste populations of South India, also Northeast India, we find 7 repeat allele. But in almost all the populations, 2 repeat allele is quite prominent. 2 repeat allele having a similar suboptimal activity of dopamine like that of 7 repeat allele was observed at a higher frequency among Indian communities when compared with 7 repeat allele. Actually, one of my PhD students, she has just done a small pilot work as a part of her PhD program. That we have picked up as anthropologists, we believe genetic associations are all community-based. At least in Indian context, we believe that they are community-based. So she has picked up a community called as Agarwal, and it is a elite community, a vegetarian community, and also they are mostly business-class people, and they have very less physical activity, and they are mostly on fat-rich diet. Such a population we picked up, and she worked on MTHFR gene polymorphism on that population. And in that study, we found that BMI was no more a risk factor for cardiovascular disease in that population, because almost 90% of the cases and also controls have high BMI. And similarly, cholesterol, the most common traditional risk factor, we found it to be no more a risk factor in that community, whereas triglycerides and LDL and WHR, waist hip ratio, was found to be risk factors in the study. So now later on, after genome diversity, I started thinking about dopamine polymorphism with respect to obesity and cardiovascular diseases. And here we found that A1 allele is associated with high BMI and high WHR. 7 repeat allele is associated with high BMI. 7 repeat allele is associated with high BMI in nomadic populations. So based on this, we thought we will repeat these things in our Agarwal samples. So I just wanted to see a trend, what type of trend we are finding in Indian community, because there is no study as yet reported either in the frequencies or on the disease association in Indian context. So the population was already, the DNA samples were with us. Type of study is case control study, and we found this, the WHR, triglycerides, LDL, we found them as risk factors. This was already done as a PhD program. BMI, cholesterol, HDL, no risk factors. DRD2 and DRD4 gene polymorphisms were analyzed among 244 individual Indian cases with respect, not cases actually, Indians, adult Indians with respect to WHR and BMI. Here, though the results what I'm showing here, I don't say that they are, you know, you have to take them for granted or they are exactly right. But though we didn't find any statistically significant differences between high BMI or low BMI, but still I just wanted to show a tendency what is happening in Indian context. So here A1 allele, usually A1 allele in other studies is reported to be more frequent among high BMI people. In case of this particular population where BMI is no more a risk factor for CVD, we are getting A1 frequency very less among high BMI people. That A1 genotype is found to be relatively less among individuals with high BMI as compared to individuals with normal BMI. Similarly, A1 gene frequency is also among high BMI as compared to normal BMI. This is something, this was not expected actually, but we got this result. And coming to A1 of DRD2 gene and WHR, here we are finding a very high frequency of A1 genotype among high WHR individuals as compared to normal WHR. Even the gene frequency of A1 allele is high among high WHR as compared to normal WHR. And WHR in this particular population is a risk factor for CVD. So we found A1 allele to be, people having A1 allele are tended to have higher BMI. Then similarly, we also try to study DRD4 in the same samples. The problem here is like 7 repeat, there are no studies relating 2 repeat allele with BMI or WHR, but 7 repeat allele in Indian context is very, very less. And then if you even talk about this particular community, of the 244 individuals we have tested for DRD4, only one individual, that is also in controls, we find one individual with 7 repeat allele, and that is why we could not take 7 repeat allele as a marker for us, and we have tried out with 2 repeat allele, which has a similar phenotypic effect. And we found that 2 repeat allele in homozygous condition, that is 2R2R, to be high among high BMI, and allele frequency of 2R is also high among high BMI. That means 2R is showing higher BMI. DRD4 gene polymorphism WHR, and reverse is happening with WHR, that is 2R2R is low in high WHR. So there is a difference of 2 repeat allele frequency in BMI and WHR. So in this particular population, 2 repeat allele should be a risk factor where WHR is high. Conclusions: frequency of A2 allele of DRD2 gene is increasing in various populations of the world. It could be of selection only, because if it is A1 is decreasing, A2 is increasing. A1, as the literature says, it is disadvantageous in certain environments. So A2 has a more selective advantage. 7 repeat allele frequency of DRD4 gene is negligible in Indian populations. However, 2 repeat allele is more frequent. Individuals carrying A1 genotype of DRD2 gene have a tendency for increased WHR. Individuals carrying 2R2R genotype of DRD4 gene have a tendency for increased BMI. In the presently studied populations where WHR is a risk factor for CVD, DRD2 gene polymorphism seems to be a better determinant of CVD. However, in complex disorders like obesity or CVD, we cannot really confirm our results on the basis of one SNP or two SNPs, because they are multifactorial. When we come to general philosophy, genotype, any genotype, whether it is mutant or normal or heterozygous or homozygous, it gives some protein, and then that protein can be, this particular genotype will increase a protein or a decrease protein. Whether it is increase or a decrease, it should give an outcome. It can be a good outcome or it can be a bad outcome. And if you talk from the first two genotype to protein, most of the studies in any gene you take, it is all well established. They say if this mutation is there, this particular protein is increasing or decreasing, this activity is increasing or decreasing. Similarly, if this activity is increasing or decreasing, this particular phenotype outcome is there. This is also mostly established for almost all the genes. But however, when we try to do association between the first and the third directly, we always find heterogeneous results, saying that some studies say yes and some studies say no. This could be because of other genic environment, culture, geography, lifestyle, ethnicity. So these all can be explained on the basis of maybe epigenetic phenomena. But whatever I feel is even epigenetic phenomena should be a tool only, but only at DNA level it is a better tool, because it never changes from the beginning till the end of the person. The genotype of a person doesn't change. So based on the genotype, if we can come up with certain inferences, that is more appropriate for management strategies rather than other things that are somehow, I feel that way. So culture, geography, lifestyle, ethnicity and other genic environment have to be taken care of while doing association studies. Thanks to all of you.
Okay, we have time for questions. So I would think that a gene that makes you impulsive would increase reproductive fitness. Any questions? Any serious questions? So have you looked at risk? You've looked at obesity. Have you looked at drug addiction, smoking,
no.
Alcoholism?
This is just a preliminary study okay. We have done, and we have got very less a sample size.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you very much.